Blog Talk Radio.
Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play.
They listen to Inside the Park. Inside the park. The RSV family. My usual suspects with me. Hot baseball topic. We're just going to jump right into it. I always tell it to you.
Gambling? What do you think about gambling?
It's
not gambling when you know you're
going to
win.
He's not coming out late. The RSV family. You're listening to Inside the Park. Inside the park. Welcome back. You're listening to Inside the Park. I'm your host, RJ Page, and we got another fun show for you this week. I got my usual suspects back on deck. My man Mike, he's a little drowsy from watching that extra inning Reds marathon. And then we got Hank, who's on fire with the Tigers bullpen imploding and the Tigers dropping the first game of the year. So, Hank, how you doing today?
You know what? I'm doing better than Phil Coke, I can tell you that right now.
I hear you, man. If you guys are anything like us, you've probably caught a bunch of baseball this season. It's back. It's in full force, and we over here at Inside the Park are just glad to have baseball back. Mike, anything catch your eye thus far in this 2013 season?
Yeah, I would say just the quality pitching, the starting pitching that's been going on. And usually, you know, the arms are ahead of the bats at this point. But to see, you know, Clayton Kershaw start off the year with a complete game shutout, Yu Darvish, you know, one batter away from a no-hitter, just a lot of really strong pitching performances, that Reds Angels 13-inning marathon with, you know, really no bat play at all. So just how far ahead the starting pitching has been to start off the year, I think, has been something to note.
Yeah, do you see that continuing going forward? Do you think the bats are going to catch up?
You know, the bats always catch up, but, you know, we touched on it when we were doing our previews, how strong the pitching we feel, especially in the National League. There's a lot of strong pitching staffs. And the game, you know, has been on a course over the last 5-10 years, and it coincides with kind of the HGH steroid factor getting more play. It really is switching to a pitching and defense type of formula. You know, you see the Giants winning. And teams like that are building through the farm system, they have strong starting pitching, they play good defense up the middle. Those Yankee models, you know, from, you know, 5-10 years ago just aren't playing out as much. So the bats will catch up, but I think it's going to be more of a pitching league this year.
Okay. I like it. I'm right there with you. How about you, Hank? What's caught your eye early in the season?
You know what caught my eye was a couple of things. Number one, of course, the quality pitching. But having said that, the fact that both last year's Cy Young winners, R.A. Dickey and David Price, got shelled. Everybody else was pitching as well as they were, and those two got shelled on their debuts. That was kind of odd. And also the Mets. How about the Mets scoring 11 runs, you know, on opening day? That was kind of neat to watch, too. The only other thing I can understand is what is up with snow, you know, on opening day. I mean, the Tigers game, 29 degrees. It's been snowing in Pittsburgh all week. Come on, we got to get spring going.
I'm right there with you. I'm gonna be out there Friday for Tigers opening day, and I'm praying for warm weather, man, because I hate baseball in the cold.
I know it. Take your parka anyway.
Yes, indeed. All right, well, listeners, we got a great show for you today. A lot has happened since we were last on. We're just going to jump right into it. We're going to start the show off breaking down these five contracts. There were five players who recently got extensions. either before the season started or right as the season got underway. I guess you could say five extensions were signed this past week. I don't know what's going on. It's like the owners must have got their refund checks because they're spending money like crazy. So we're going to break down each of these contracts. Fellas, I'm going to ask you guys, you know, I'm going to throw the contract out there. Then I want to get your opinion on it. If you were the GM of that team, would you have signed player X to this type of contract? And then give me a grade. Where you rate this contract? A being the best, F being the worst. And first guy up is the first guy who got signed just before the season started, Adam Wainwright, St. Louis Cardinals pitcher, the ace of that staff. He just signed a 5-year, $97.5 million deal. It's going to cover him through from 2014 to 2018, and it's covering his age 32 to 36 seasons. And I know Mike is a guy who loves to talk about contracts. So, Mike, if you were GM, would you have signed Adam Wainwright to that kind of money? And if yes, tell us why, and if no, tell us why.
So, first of all, the Cardinals, I think, had to do it. After letting Pujols walk, they had to sign a free agent big time, long term. I believe they got Holiday on an extension last year that's going to pay him some money. So I think they were kind of in a place where they felt they needed to do it. In terms of the quality pitcher that Adam Wainwright is, I think it's appropriate length. I think it's appropriate money for him. The only thing I worry about with Wainwright is that he's only been starting for, I believe, 4 years. Perhaps this is his fifth. And one of those years was wiped out because of injury. So... There's some concern with that. I think that this is not that bad of a gamble. I think this is probably a B contract, and the only reason I say that is because of the injury history. If he didn't have that, I think this would be an A contract, right at market value, and, you know, a good deal.
Yeah, you know, I look at the 597, and immediately I go back to Anibal Sanchez. I mean, he's the Tigers' number three starter, and he got 5 years, 80. So the numbers are right. Like you said, I do worry about his arm, and I agree wholeheartedly that the Cardinals can't afford to let too many more pitchers walk. And he has had Tommy John surgery, so that 32 to age 36 season would give me some pause. But I would have signed this deal as well, but I gave it a C for those reasons. I mean, the Cardinals had to do it, but I'm not in love with the age that they're signing Wainwright up for, so... I say sign them, and I give it a C. What about you, Hank? Did you like this deal?
You know what? I gave it about a C minus, and for the same reasons you just mentioned, RJ. I think that, and Mike, you made a valid point. They had to sign him. They had to keep some of their players there after letting Pujols walk. But now you are talking about a pitcher that's coming off a whole season that was missed with this Tommy John surgery. Okay, but now he's the ace of your staff. So it's always kind of, you know, a gamble when you're going to sign a pitcher to any length who's had some sort of arm problem. So you're right. When you it's market value. It makes sense. But when you look at that and you're saying you're going to sign him through age 36, now, you know, that just for the injury alone, I would say about a C-. But they had to sign him. They really didn't have a whole lot of choice in that.
We're all in agreement. Sign him, but we're not in love with the deal. Mm-hmm. Next up. Paul Goldschmidt signed there, and he's the fairly young first baseman with the Arizona Diamondbacks. He just signed a 5-year, $32 million deal with a 6-year option for $14 million. And the Diamondbacks locked him up from his age 26 to age 30 season. So we're going to go right back at you, Hank. What do you think about that Paul Goldschmidt deal?
I give it an A-. I think that, you know, A-, B-plus, and I say that because Paul Goldschmidt is so young, you know. So, and I understand what the Diamondbacks is doing. They think they've got a stud first baseman, and what they're trying to do is lock him up and build around him, build around that. So I can understand it. What I don't understand, though, is that if they could find that money and try to keep this young man happy, why couldn't they do the same thing with Upton and continue to try to build that team? But I digress. I think it's a good deal for them, again. But, again, he, being so young and being unproven as he is, it's somewhat of a gamble. But, like I said, I think it makes sense if they're trying to keep some of their studs that they think that's going to be the future of that team. And that's not bad money for him. You know, and that's not bad money for the organization either.
Mike, what say you? How you feel about this one?
Well, you know, they're taking a chance here, okay? So you got a guy who's still got arbitration years ahead of him. He's nowhere near being a free agent. So what you're talking about is buying out free agent years, and you're betting that he's going to be successful and he's going to break the bank or get $10 million plus in arbitration, right? And they bought out, I believe, 1 or 2 years of his free agency as well. So the logic is sound here. $6 million a year, if he continues on this rate, will be it'll be a good contract. And in times when, you know, platooning left fielders make $5 million a year, you know, this they may be saddled with a little bit heavy money at the end of it, but I think it's pretty low risk. At $6 million a year, he's going to be okay. It could be a great value. I think if they could have waited one more year and let him kind of prove himself out again, you know, they would have eliminated some of the risk. But having said that, I think it's a B-plus deal. If you can lock up talent for $6 million a year, you know, you do it.
Yeah. I actually love this deal. I gave it an A, and if I was a GM, I would have done it 10 times over. Reason being is what you touched on when we discussed Wainwright, Mike. Pitching is dominating right now, and Goldschmidt's a power hitter. When there's not too many raw power hitters out there, he's definitely, you know, a premium ball player in that respect. And when you take that into consideration that all this TV money that's flooding the game, it's actually increased, I guess, what people are willing to pay when you look at somebody's WAR and you kind of see what one win is worth. You know, it used to be about $5 million. Now it's up to $6 million based on, you know, all this TV money. So if you're giving Goldschmidt, $6 million a year, you're basically saying he's going to be about a one-war player, which I'm sure he's going to exceed that. I have no worries about that at all. Therefore, I love this contract. I see no problem with it whatsoever.
It's pretty solid.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. next up, I'm sure we're going to have some discussion on this one. Hank, how you feel about that Justin Verlander contract? It's reported 7 million or 7 years at $180 million, but really, what the Tigers did was they signed him to 5 more years at $140 million, and they tacked on the 2 years $40 million that was left on his deal. So they reported it 7 years $180 million to make it seem larger, but in essence, it's a 5 year $140 million deal. That does not kick in until 2015, 2 years from now. Hank, how you feeling about this one, brother?
I like the deal, and I like the deal for this reason. Okay, you've got right now in his year 30, one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball. You know, most baseball experts saying that this is Justin Verlander is the most dominant pitcher in baseball. He's never had any injuries. He's a workhorse, and you've got, and like you said, this doesn't kick in for a couple of years. So now you can watch this and evaluate this. You know, I think this is a great deal. You know, you had to do it. You couldn't let him walk. You know, and he's got that side about him that you just think that, you know, he could go to another team and continue to be dominant. I give the deal that, A, the Tigers absolutely had to sign him. You know, they really didn't have any choices. They still got an opportunity to win with him. So, again, you know, that's not one of those kind of deals where you try to wait and see. He could be gone. You know, and he had enough bargaining, you know, power, you know, and to get out of Detroit if he wanted to. So they had to lock him up. So I get a deal with Nate. I'd sign him. Yep.
All right, Mike, you're going to have to sit back and let these Tiger fans go at it for a minute. After I thought about it, not saying that they didn't need to lock Verlander up. What I'm saying is they didn't need to do it right now. He signed for 2 more years, $20 million per, and they signed him for $28 million going into his 32-36 season. Like you said, Hank, I'm all for keeping JV in the Tigers uniform. Until he's done pitching, but what's the rush? You don't know what he's going to be 2 years from now. You'd hope that he'd still be a great ball player. But, I mean, look at Roy Halladay. Would you sign – before his downturn, when we talked about this guy a couple weeks ago as fading out, the year prior, would you have not signed him for five years? Sure you would. Pitching is risky. It's a risky business. And long-term contracts don't get handed out all the time because they typically tend to fail. So I'm a tad bit concerned. It doesn't start for two more years. What was the rush? And I got to say, JV played this one perfectly. In spring training, I remember he came out and he said, you know, he's looking forward to testing the free agent market in 2 years. He said that it'll be fun having all these teams bid for him, which kind of, you know, the Tigers heard and they're like, okay, we can't afford to lose this guy. Then he hit him with the, after the season starts, I'm not talking contract. So, you know, what do the Tigers do? They put fall right into his hands, give him a 5-year extension when he had 2 years left on his deal. Not a fan for those reasons. Mike, be the arbitrator here.
I feel pretty strongly about this. I think that these length of contracts for pitchers are a mistake, and I felt that way with Felix Hernandez's deal being that long, even though he's been healthy. And the length of it, okay, so the money, I think we all agree, we don't care about the money, it's the years, right? Because it's funny money anyway. They got the TV deal, the Tigers are paying, I think they're paying the popcorn guy $2 million this year, okay? They pay everybody, all right? So the money doesn't matter to me. It is the years, okay, with a power pitcher. When you talk about a pitcher that can go from dominant to completely irrelevant in 2 or 3 years, whether that's injury or whatever, Lincecum's a good example of that. Barry Zito's a great example of that. I know Verlander's been better and more dominant for a long time. But looking 7 years, and all you have to do is go back 7 years in time from now and give me the top five pitchers in each league and tell me how many of those guys are still pitching at that level. Is it two? Is it 40%? So 60% of those investments are completely wasted. So my approach would be, instead of giving this guy a 5-year extension for 140, why can't you give him 3 years and $100 million and say, listen, Justin, we want you for the next 5 years. We're going to make you the highest paid person in the majors for those 3 years. Plus, if you're still doing well, you're going to be able to sign another 5-year deal on top of that and make even more money. And protect the team a little bit, because unfortunately with the Tigers right now, you've got a lot of really big contracts with players that are going to be in their 30s in a couple of years. So Prince Fielder, Justin Verlander, I'm not sure how long Cabrera is signed for, but you could be saddled with some huge contracts in 5 years that you can't move. You know, the Cubs couldn't pay someone to take Soriano off their hands. So I think I fall on your side with this, RJ. He's absolutely worth the money. The years, though, scare me. Not now, but in 5 years from now, you could be regretting it.
Yeah. How do you feel if you're Cabrera, Hank? I mean, Cabrera's got this year and next year, and then he's a free agent. He's got to be sitting there like, okay, where's my money at?
But you know what, though? I believe that, you know, that came up. And I think they can watch Cabrera, though. And I think that, you know, they will pay Cabrera, and I think that if it looks like that's what they want to do, that's what they're going to do. I don't think right now, as long as Mike Gillidge is alive, that any of those superstars have got to worry about being paid. I don't, and that's just watching how everything has worked out over the last couple of years. But I think that when you look at what's going on with Justin Verlander, I think he's just a part of trying to get everybody else locked up. If you watch how Illich operates. He did the same thing with his hockey team. You know, he's going to lock up his superstars and then try to build around them. I don't know if he feels that part of that model is that you're able to, you know, recruit other players, saying that you're going to be a championship team for a while, and this is another way to try to compete with the Yankees and the Bostons of the world. We're going to keep our players here and still try to build. I'm not necessarily sure, but I think that when it's Cabrera's time, that if they're going to lock him up as well. I don't think any of those players have got to worry about it. I understand about the years, too, but I also understand that the Tigers, I think, are banking on the fact that with a Justin Verlander, they're going to be able to get the best out of him. And then if they want to try to move him, like, you know, even when he goes into this new deal, you know, will they be able to move him? I don't know. Maybe they can ship him off to a contender if they're not contending. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a risk. It's a roll of the dice. But you do have one of the most dominant pitchers that you assume is going to be dominant for the next 5 years. He's really just coming into his prime right now.
Yeah, and I guess what Hank or what Mike and I are saying is you can't make that assumption with pitchers. I mean, you know, typically they tend to have some good years in them, and then it goes downhill from there. But
you know what? Let me say this, too, before we move on to the next topic. You know, I think the Tigers are kind of looking back in their history. You know, I think they kind of played that game of chicken with Jack Morris several years ago, and they lost. And, you know, Jack Morris went on for several years to continue to dominate. Now, you know, when you start to think about things like that, it's like, you know, I don't want this guy coming back and biting me in the butt when we can still get him in his prime. So that's just, maybe that's some food for thought, too.
Yeah, but they had 2 years. They're 2 years early. And there lies the issue for me.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I always look at this in terms of opportunity cost. And right now, you know, he's doing great. It's fantastic. It doesn't stop him from doing anything else. But 5 years from now, when you're looking to sign that guy who's just coming into his own, and now you don't have money because you're tied on for the next 5 years past that with Fielder and Verlander, who do you not sign now? When it's 2020 or 2018 and you go, man, we need to – oh, can't do it. You're really saying we're going to make ourselves pretty irrelevant in the 2017 through 2020 years because you're going to have $50 million dedicated to guys that are 37 or older. I mean, that's tough. And, if you know, people do it – teams do it all the time and say, we just don't have the money to do it. Can't do it. We got to cut payroll. You know, we got to put replacement players in here. We can't sign our guys because we've already got $50 million assigned to two players.
You mean like the Yankees?
Yeah.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. So in 5 years, let's just say Bryce Harper and Mike Trout, you know, these guys will probably be signed long-term before then. Those guys come, they're free agents. Rather have Justin Verlander at 35 or Mike Trout, you know, it'll be more money at 26, 27. Bryce Harper at 25. Who's worth that much money in 2017? Which way do you want to go? Think about what you have to give up to take this now.
Yeah, you had me at hello. All right.
I'm a Tiger. You know, I'm a Tiger, knock on wood, and I'm going to be dead in 2 years. I love this deal, or 3 years. You know what I mean? If I only care about the immediate future, of course. I want a happy Justin Verlander. I want to make sure my team's good for the next 5 years. You're relevant for the next 5 years right now. Done.
Yeah. Point. Next up, Buster Posey. Got a 9-year, $167 million deal with a 10th year as an option for another $22 million. They locked him up from 2013 to 2021, and those are his age 26 to age 34 seasons. Mike, go.
I really like this contract. I do. You know what? In many ways, though, it's similar to Joe Mauer's contract, which did not work out very well. What I like about Posey, though, is that he almost has that Biggio build, right? So I think he translates to other positions outside the catcher's spot. I think eventually you'll see him at first base, third base. Heck, he's small enough he could even play second if he's got the glove for it. I don't know that he does, but he's not stuck behind the plate. He's young. He's not a swing and miss type guy. You know, he makes good contact. He has good power, and you know, he's young enough where it still makes sense. So the years are long, but if I'm going to give it to a young player with a good build, I think Buster Posey's a pretty good player to do that too. So I'm going to say, probably a B plus on this for me.
All right, Hank, where are you on this one?
I think the deal makes sense because of his age and because, as Mike said, he can translate to other positions. I would be more concerned if they expected him to catch for the next 4 or 5 years after already coming off of a bad injury. But again, you know, with the trends of where baseball is, you could almost assume that in the next 2 seasons that probably the entire league is going to go back to either. They're going to all go to a DH, or they're just going to get rid of interleague play altogether. I say they're going to go to a DH, which makes this deal perfect for a Buster Posey because, you know, it's his stick that's going to really be able to, you know, flash over the next several years, especially the latter years of this contract. And he's a giant for life, you know, and I think that makes perfect sense. So, again, I like this deal, too. I'll give it an A.
Wow. I'm not as high. I gave it a C, and it's only because of the years. I think the 167 is right on point. I like the age. The only thing that gives me pause and the reason I gave it a C is because he's a catcher. And if they have to move him to first base, then you're infringing on Brandon Belt's playing time, who was one of their I don't know if you can call him a prospect now, but he was one of their top prospects who was manning the first base position now. So what happens to Belt if you got to move Posey to catcher?
What third?
Yeah, I don't know about that one. But
Again, I think that what you're looking at right now is another, you know, evolution of baseball. I think that this deal is also, you know, contingent upon them going probably to a DH league-wide. And I wouldn't be surprised if you do that and you've got Buster Posey into a deal like that. You know, that's a great deal for him. It's an awesome deal for him.
Okay. Well, yeah, I just gave it a C.
Yeah, and I compare these deals to the three monster deals that were handed out last year. You're talking about a guy who's got two World Series in the last 3 years, the leader of that team. But you compare the contracts to Votto, Fielder, and Pujols, all guys that were, I believe, at least maybe about 5 years older than him and got more money, okay? He's not quite the same impact bat that they have, but I view him like a Chipper Jones-type player. I don't think he's the best hitter in the league, but he's a top echelon guy, and he's younger than the other ones. So if you were going to have to sign him to those years because of those guys have it, I like it better than I like either of those three deals that I think are comparative.
Yeah. I can get on board. The last one we got, Elvis Andrus, signed an 8-year, $120 million deal, and this one, like the Verlander deal, does not kick in until 2015, and he signed until 2023, actually, 26 to 33, age 26 to age 33 season. Elvis Andrus, how do you feel about this one, Hank?
I like it. Yeah, at first, I kind of like, well, what the hell are they signing him for now, you know, with him being so young? But they want to lock up Andrus, and I think what you're going to see in the future is Andrew Andrus and Jerickson Profar infield, okay? So you lock up this guy. You know, he's coming into his own. You know, he's an amazing defensive shortstop, you know, great speed. And, you know, I think that what they're doing is the Texans right now, the Rangers are really building for the future right now with this deal. You know, you're going to have Profar in there, you know, probably later on this year, but definitely going further. You know, Ian Kinsler's getting older, you know, 31 years old. So you can see this, and you can see what they're doing with this deal. So it makes sense to me. I like it. I give it about a B.
All right. What about you, Mike?
I think we're two letter grades off here. I gave this deal a D, and the reason I did it is they signed a guy because of his defense and his legs. You're talking about a guy offensively that OPS'd under 700 last year, or for his career. He's got only 14 homers in 2,600 plate appearances. He's not bringing you much offensively. To me, that's easily replaced. You can get, you know, defensive shortstops that don't hit a lot that hit you 250, probably get on base a little bit more or at the same clip, but to lock up for $15 million a year, I think they overpaid. I think they went too long with it. And I think this is a contract that you may say, you know, 5 years from now, yeah, you know, he's worth it. But at the same time, I bet you I could replace him with a much cheaper guy and you wouldn't really notice much, you know. If, in my opinion, at the shortstop position, unless you're Derek Jeter or Alex Rodriguez and you're producing at elite level, you don't command that type of money. Barry Larkin never got that type of money. He was a good bat guy, a good glove guy, had some speed, but, you know, you couldn't pay him that kind of money. So I think they overpaid, and a couple of years from now they'll go, geez, we probably could have spent that money someplace else.
Well, Go ahead. I was going to say that brings up a good point, Mike. You talk about he could probably be replaced, and if we take Justin Profar out of the replacement and they're trying to replace him on the open market, I mean, it seems to me that free agency is almost a thing of the past. Everybody's locking up their young talent. Would there be a free agent out there to sign to replace Ellis Andrus if they let him walk?
Yeah, and typically teams always have good glove shortstops in the minors, right? You can get 250 and a good glove at short with no pop in the stick. That's pretty easy to find, right? There's guys like that throughout the league. What makes a difference if you've got a shortstop that can hit you 300, knock in 25 homers, you know, 80 RBIs, can hit, you know, second or fifth for you in the lineup or third? Ellis Andrus isn't that guy. He doesn't bring you the offensive component to his game. So when did defensive shortstops get paid $15 million a year? When did that happen?
Well, you know what it is? I think Texas, last year his power numbers went up. I mean, he wasn't A-Rod by any stretch of the imagination, but his power numbers did get a slight rise. So I think Texas is banking on it continuing to rise. And in that regard, I see what you mean. They may have done it a little too early. But I mean, I think
14 runs, right, in over parts of four seasons. Bryce Harper hit more home runs in a truncated three-quarter of a season than Ellis Andrus has his entire career, right? And, you know, Bryce Harper brings speed. He gets on base more, all those things. So, to me, I don't think Ellis Andrus is anything special. And I don't think he's Ozzie Smith with a glove. So what are you paying for?
I think what you're paying for is a known commodity that is, you know, obviously has moved up and has improved every year. And I think that on the open market, when you look at the value of Ellis Andrus, that he was going to probably command that, especially at the end of his contract. So I think that what they're trying to do is try to get him on the cheap and try to get him more years. And I think that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that trend a lot with these GMs now. Now, you know, what they're looking at, I think a lot of what they're doing is they are playing a lot on potential. They see what this guy has got. They see what he's been with this team. Got him to two World Series. He was their shortstop. So you're looking at those things. You're looking at a progression of every year that he's batted more and more and more. Now, yeah, you probably could have waited, but you could have lost him, and then you come in with Profar, and your whole Profar is that number one prospect that, you know, he's supposed to be. But if not, you know, then you're starting all over again. And I think that we just already touched upon baseball going more towards defense and pitching, and now you've got you a locked-up commodity at shortstop. And as RJ, you said, who are you going to get for him? And do you roll the dice with a position such as shortstop? You know, when your power numbers are coming from your third baseman and your first baseman, you know, you've got to have somebody to be able to roam over there. So I see where the deal makes sense, and I can see with him being 25 this year and the length that you can have him, you know, and you will hit him and he'll hit in his prime and he'll already be locked up. So I can see some validity into the contract.
So, let me ask you this. Let's put some perspective on this. If I said you've got two prospects and they play different positions, but you got to tell me who's more valuable, are you telling me right now that Ellis Andrus is four times the prospect that Paul Goldschmidt is? Four times. They're paying him four times as much money as Goldschmidt got signed for.
Well, let me tell you, no, I can't say that. I will say that Texas feel like they can win now, and they're still a World Series contender. I can say that he's a young prospect that I know that in one of the meetings, everybody was asking about him. Everybody was trying to get to him because everybody wanted Andrus because he is a known commodity at shortstop. They felt like if they could lock him up right now and keep him at that price, that, you know, his value may be, you're right, it may be less than that. But then again, it may be more than that too, you know. And I don't think they're signing him at this point for numbers, you know. I mean, for offensive numbers, even though he batted 286 last year. You know, like, again, they've got enough bats on that team. They've got to keep the defense and the pitching together. And again, you're talking about the Rangers, who I think believe that they can win the American League and win the World Series, but they got to be able to play defense. And the last two World Series champions have played great defense. So I understand what they're doing.
Yeah. And I think, I'm just saying, if you told me Elvis Andrews signed an 8-year, $62 million contract, that makes sense to me. That makes perfect sense. About $8 million a year, you tell me you signed an 8-year, $120 million contract, I think you're playing with funny money.
They probably are. Is he a top five shortstop?
Defensively, yes.
No, all around, period.
Okay. The question is, who do you put in front of him? I would say he's top five. You got to tell me who you're going to put in front of him.
How about you, Mike? Top five?
He's fringe. So no, I wouldn't necessarily put him top five.
Well, who's in front of him? Who's in front of him?
Tulowitzki.
Yeah, I absolutely. Tulowitzki, who else? See, that's my point.
What about Asdrubal Cabrera?
What about him? Y'all laughed me out the building, but you've only mentioned two. So if you say Asdrubal Cabrera,
I'm ready to go for you. Ready? At this point, who's better than him? Jose Reyes is better than him. Tulowitzki is better than him. Starlin Castro is a better prospect than him. Hanley Ramirez currently is, certainly not long range. You can make a discussion on Ian Desmond coming off his season. Asdrubal Cabrera certainly is there. Another prospect with not quite the same stick, but certainly potential, Alcides Escobar is there as well, if you're talking about a strictly defensive shortstop. So could you rank him top five? You could. Could you rank him ninth? Yeah, you could make that argument for him.
That's my point. That's my point. You said a lot of shoulda, coulda, wouldas. You said Hanley Ramirez, who hurt. You said Reyes, who gets hurt, who's aging. You're talking about a young 25-year-old player that they've locked up for that next 8 years. I mean, to me it makes sense. I mean, I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to keep it. And, RJ, you know you are a proponent of the middle of the diamond defense. So you know. So I'm surprised you don't see what they're doing here.
Oh, I didn't. I never gave my reaction to the deal. I was just detached yet. I gave it a B, but I would not have done it if I were a GM, because it doesn't take effect until 2015, and you don't know what you have in Jerks and Profar.
I see them moving Profar to second. I see them playing both of those guys in the middle of the diamond.
Oh yeah, they're gonna have to now.
Right. I think this deal had more to do with Ian Kinsler more than Andres. They wanted to keep Andres there, and they wanted to keep both those players.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how many Texas Ranger fans we have listening, so we're going to keep it moving. We've given Andres enough airtime. Move on to one of my favorite stories thus far this early baseball season. Robinson Cano, he is signed with Jay-Z as his agent, and I want to know what he's going to do. What should the Yankees do, I should say? I mean, we put ourselves in the shoes of these GMs with these five contract extensions. Now I want to know what you guys would do with Cano if you were Cashman. Hank, if you're Brian Cashman, what do you do with Robinson Cano? Do you trade him? Do you try to lock him up? Are you sitting down at the bargaining table with Jay-Z? What you doing?
Well, I think that with him signing with Jay-Z, I think if I'm Cashman, I think I can play hardball now. You know, I think that if he has Scott Boras continue to be his agent, then it would have been tough. I might have had to look to move him. But I think he can play hardball with Jay-Z, because Jay-Z wants to keep, and it's very simple, I think it looks to me that he wants to keep Robinson Cano in New York. So that kind of takes out a lot of bargaining to me. I thought it was a bad move to do that now, and you're trying to get a new deal. You know, so I think you got to sign him. You've got the signing, because the Yankees are still going to be the Yankees, and that means they're going to try to sign free agents. I really don't see them changing their philosophy at this point. And Robinson Cano is really the only superstar you have of value. Everybody else is old and falling apart. And you let him go, you know, what are you going to really get back? I don't see the Yankees being a team that's just going to take a year off and try to rebuild. That's just not the way they do things. So I think they sign him. But I think you play hardball with him since you've got Jay-Z there, and Jay-Z wants to keep him in New York. You remember he wears the Yankee hat more famous than a Yankee can.
Touche. I'm interested to see how you feel about this, Mike.
In terms of him, first of all, Cashman should be concerned. He should be worried because Robinson Cano is setting himself up for a 10-year, $300 million contract, not because he's, you know, worth that. I don't think anybody's worth that at this point, but because the Yankees got no choice. They got to sign him. They don't have a plethora of young players out there. They can't lose him. They can't do it. And the fact that he brought Jay-Z in this makes it high profile. It means everybody's going to be looking. So Cano can't back down from his demands. Jay-Z can ask for whatever he wants and say, it's New York, you got the money, pay me. All right? So what's the smart move to do here? For Cashman to go, let me trade him right now and get whatever I can and spend my money elsewhere, because we've already talked about committing money, you know, 25 plus million a year to guys that are 35 and older does not win World Series championships. Okay, it doesn't do it. So, you know, if he could just make a decision in a vacuum, they'd let him go, they'd trade him, they'd get what they could for him, and they'd sign somebody else. But because he's in New York, they can't afford to let him go. He will make $30 million a year. He will get a $10 million contract. And 5 years from now, he'll be just as irrelevant as Mark Teixeira is.
And, yeah, I guess that's the thing. We've buried the Yankees. We've thrown dirt on their grave. And reason being is because they're old. So how do you get younger? You trade people and get prospects. So I hear you, Hank. That's not how the Yankees do it. But as we said throughout this show, the days of signing the top free agent, those days are over, because the top free agent has already been signed to his present club. I mean, you're picking over scraps by the time free agency rolls around, a la Josh Hamilton. But the one way to stay relevant and to compete is to stay young. And the Yankees just don't have the prospects in the farm system to be able to say, "Hey, we're gonna sign Robinson Cano, our one valuable trade product, and not try to get better." If they do sign Cano, like you said, Mike, I think they haven't learned from their mistakes, and they're going to continue down this road of becoming irrelevant.
Well, they showed this year. You know, there were some things. The Yankees had an opportunity this year to at least do some things and try to get younger, and they didn't. You know, once they found out that Eric Chavez went to another team, once they found out that A-Rod was out, you know, they didn't even look to see if they had anybody in their farm system that could play third. What they go do, they go sign Kevin Youkilis. I mean, so, you know, you see it right now. They still have the highest payroll in baseball, even after all those players left and gone to other teams. You know, if you've got the same management team in there, how do you expect them to all of a sudden do an about-face after so many years of doing business one way? You know, they just won a World Series in 2009. I don't see them changing. You're absolutely right. He's going to get his money. He's going to get every bit of it, you know, and he's going to be a Yankee for life, and they, you know, and they're going to start, and don't be surprised. Probably at the end of Verlander's contract, he might be a Yankee too, especially if he's damaged goods.
The Yankees will take everybody's garbage, won't they?
Absolutely will. They already have.
How about some Vernon Wells with that?
There you go. See? I didn't even think about that. I forgot about him.
All right. We got about 15 minutes left, fellas. We went through the sixth division 3 weeks prior to the season, but what we did not do is go through our postseason awards. So this year I want to get into you guys' postseason awards. and I want to try to recall them at the end of the season and see how we did. So we're gonna put everybody on the spot this week, and we're going to start with AL MVP. Who you got for AL MVP this year, Mike? Mike, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. My mute button's working well, too. You guys will like this. I went with Prince Fielder. That lineup is just stacked. Him hitting with Cabrera and Martinez, I think they're going to be on track early other than today. And he's going to hit. He's going to put up fantastic numbers. And I just think it's the Tigers' year to really, you know, stretch it out.
Well, we've converted Mike, Hank.
Yeah, I guess we did, because that was my pick, too, for the same reason. I think he's got protection in front of him and behind him, and he's going to get some good pitches to hit. And I don't know if you paid attention. He's also gotten a larger glove for first base, like the size of Mark Teixeira's glove. So I think you're going to see a better year from him defensively, too. So I got Prince. He's got a larger glove. He went with a larger first baseman glove. It's almost illegal, but it's legal. And
I
he said Teixeira used it. Teixeira was winning gold gloves over there at first base. So, you know, he made a nice scoop at the game the other day. So, you know, that might help him some.
If you're comparing him to Tex, it must be a magic glove, man.
Okay, I'm just saying, I'm talking about the when Tex was Tex, not Tex now.
I wouldn't worry about his glove. I'd worry about that he got some bigger pants, and he keeps getting bigger pants. You know what I mean? That's what I would worry about. Get him some smaller pants.
I went with Longoria. I mean, I think Tampa Bay is going to have a big year, a surprisingly big year. I think they're going to win that division. Therefore, it's only safe to assume that the MVP may come from that team, and that's pretty much why I picked Evan Longoria. No other reason. He's the best player on that team. So that's my guy this year. NL MVP, you know, one good favorite deserves another, so I went with Joey Votto. Kudos to you, Mike.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And I will, I don't know, maybe I'm stealing Hank's thunder or not. It's not a Dodger. It's not Matt Kemp, so I'm probably not. But I'm going to go with my guy that I picked as the best player in the National League or in the division, which was Andrew McCutchen. He was on pace for NL MVP well past the midway point of the season. Took a little bit of a dive with the rest of his team. I think he's got too much talent. He's got so much talent. And if they can protect him a little bit in that lineup, keep him healthy, I just think he's a great player. So I went with McCutchen.
All right. Hank, who you got?
I went with Matt Kemp, and I'm going to tell you why. First of all, I would have gone with Joey Votto until Ludwig got hurt. Now, and I think his protection, that messed up his protection. Couldn't go with McCutchen because I think the Pirates and got worse. I couldn't go with Giancarlo Stanton because I don't think they're going to be relevant. I think that what you're going to see with the Dodgers is you're going to see that play out all year long in the West. And I think Kemp with protection with Adrian Gonzalez behind him, I think he's going to have a season like he had a couple of years ago.
All right, listeners, that was actually a joke. That was actually Hank's recording from last year when he picked Matt Kemp.
That's why I said that other stuff, so they would know it's this year.
Matt Kemp, who would have guessed it?
I don't know.
Well, let's keep you on this roll that you're on, Hank. I'll just throw this out there and see what you think. National League Cy Young, who you got?
Wow. Did anybody watch any baseball on Monday? Is there any doubt? I'm going with Clayton. I mean, he comes out, you know, shuts out the world champs and then hits the game-winning homer. Yeah, Clayton Kershaw. And I'm going to tell you right now, here's a bombshell. He might be better than JV this year. He is bad.
All right. Who you got for NL Cy Young, Mike?
You know, I went with Kershaw as well. He's a guy who, you know, his win totals weren't up there that high last year, but he's been so consistent the last couple years. I think Kershaw's There's a couple guys that can do it, but he's definitely top tier, and he's not going to surprise anybody if he gets the Cy Young this year. So I think that's a solid pick.
Yeah, 3 for 3. I want Clayton Kershaw as well. And I won't bore anybody with the reasons why he's just a great pitcher. AL Cy Young, Mike.
You know what? I went with Jared Weaver, another guy who's been very, very consistent the last 3 years, putting up good stuff. Started off with a great opening day as well, going I believe 6 innings, 1-run ball. Got a great lineup behind him, so his win total should be good if they can put that together. But once again, I don't think he has good a stuff as Verlander. I don't think that's the question. I think he's a really consistent and good pitcher. He'll have some good win totals, and I think the Angels have success, which makes it easier for him to win that award.
Yeah, I think if he gets it, it'll be one of those, it was his turn. I mean, you've had Verlander, you've had Price, now it's Weaver's turn. That'll be one of those picks.
Yeah.
I went JV, and I'm sure, Hank, who do you got?
You know what? That would have been an easy pick, but I'm going to go off the board this time. I'm picking King Felix. I think that with what's going on over there, and you say it's somebody's turn. You know, this guy is an amazing pitcher. Now they've got a little bit more talent over there. So I'm looking for King Felix to put up some numbers this year.
Okay. I can see that. I like that. I like where you're going. Seattle definitely has the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to support him this year.
Right.
All right. This is where it gets murky. AL Rookie of the Year. Who you got, Hank?
You know, I had a chance to watch a little bit of baseball this week. So I saw a young man in the outfield of the Boston Red Sox that kind of caught my eye. I don't know if you guys heard of Mr. Jackie Bradley Jr. This guy looks pretty good. First of all, he's like an amazing defensive player. Like a 5-2 player. I'm going to keep an eye on him. He's going to be my early pick for him for Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
Wasn't he the lead? Isn't that the character that Eddie Murphy played? Jackie Bradley Jr.?
Yeah, what was that, Distinguished Gentleman?
I'm sorry, I didn't see it.
Yeah, that was a little after Hank's glory years, mate. He missed that one.
True. He was asleep on the couch at 7, right?
Whatever.
Who you got, Mike?
You know what? This is a murky year for Rookie of the Year. You got to reach down for AL Rookie of the Year. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, Will Myers coming up for the Rays, throwing. He would be an obvious guy, but I'm going to tell you that it's a underwhelming choice for me. There's not a lot of hype out there, and to be honest with you, being a National League guy, no one's really caught my eye to any great extent at this point. So it's as open a year for Rookie of the Year as there's been in a long time.
Yeah, I got Will Myers as well. He'll get called up as soon as Tampa Bay is able to without losing a year of eligibility. And, you know, you guys already know I expect big things from Tampa Bay, so Will Myers it is. NL, even rougher, NL Rookie of the Year. Where are we at?
You know, I'm torn between two guys, and you'll have to let me know. Is Starling Marte, did he maintain his rookie status? I only think he played it maybe a month. Sterling Marte?
Yeah, I don't think he'd qualify.
Okay, then I'm going to go with Shelby Miller from the Cardinals. Their number one pick from a couple years ago. They've got a hole in that starting rotation. He won the number 5 spot, and you know how much success St. Louis has with middle-of-the-road pitchers all of a sudden turning into 15-game winners. Now give him a guy that has all the talent in the world and see what they can do with him. So I think Shelby Miller is going to be another in a long list of very strong Cardinal starters, and in a lackluster year for rookies, especially in the National League, I'd go with him. I think he's a pretty safe pick.
How about you, Hank?
I'm going with the Dodgers pitcher, the Korean pitcher, Hyunjin Ryu. Saw him pitch yesterday. Got good stuff. He looked like he could be a Rookie of the Year pitcher. Now he's not a rookie. He's come over here from Korea. He pitched a game yesterday. And again, you know, just the eyeball test on some of these players. And he looks like he's got great stuff. He's going to be a nice addition to that Dodgers starting roster. So I'm going to pick him early.
Okay. Another Dodger, surprising. I almost went with Shelby Miller as well, but I figured that'd be too easy, so I wanted to dig a little deeper. I went Nolan Arredondo, third baseman over in Colorado. It's a pretty easy park to hit in. He can post some big numbers in that park, and I think Colorado will probably call him up soon. I mean, they're not going anywhere, so why not give him some big league experience? He actually tore it up in spring training, so. Let's see what he can do when he comes up. But, again, I'm picking at straws here. There's not a lot to get excited about other than Shelby Miller at this point in time. All right, that'll take us about to wind this thing up. Who you guys got? AL, we'll start with you, Hank, manager of the year.
I'm picking Terry Francona for the Cleveland Indians.
Tito.
Yeah. They look good. He's got enough experience. They're gonna make a push this year. I think the Tigers are gonna have another slow start.
that wouldn't be a first. But yeah, I see Cleveland being right there, so I'm not mad at that one. How about you, Mike?
You know, I went with Socha. There's a lot of really good teams, good managers in the AL, and Socha's got a reputation. So I think his team puts it together this year, and he gets credit from taking them from an 86 win team last year to a 95 to 100 win team this year. So I'll go with Socha.
And I'm picking Rays like Hank's picking Dodgers. I went Joe Madden.
I don't know how he could be manager of the year. They're going to win a division. They're there every year.
Because they're winning the division with that, it's all about doing more with less. And that nobody does it better than the Rays.
Okay.
who you got? We'll start with you on the NL Manager of the Year, Mike.
Dusty Baker, a guy that you the Reds are going to win a lot of games this year. Dusty takes a lot of slack, but he's going to push them far into the playoffs this year. And I think he gets it. I think he gets it because they do well, and you know what? He's been successful for a while now in that team. He's turned that city around, that team around. So why not? Here's my slogan: Why not, Dusty? Why not?
Yeah, I thought about Dusty. I actually picked the guy who we talked about his team last week. They could be a sneaky good team due to their young talent. Bud Black, San Diego Padres. If San Diego has a decent year, I think it'll surprise a lot of people. Therefore, why not Bud Black? How about you,
Why
Hank?
Not?
Why not? You know what? I went with Charlie Manuel. I think that, you know, there's enough question marks around Philadelphia. Now people are not picking Philadelphia to make the playoffs this year. I think that he's going to have that veteran team making the final push. And, you know, again, they're kind of out of the conversation. So I'm going. Why not Charlie Manuel?
Why
that hurts my heart because we argued last week and you said no, I want the Nationals. I want Davey Johnson. He's the better manager over Charlie Manuel. And I said, give Charlie some love. And you go, you know what? And now he's your manager of the year. It hurts. It hurts.
Yeah, because,
you know,
listen,
what I mean?
You can't pick Davey Johnson. You can't pick the Braves manager. They're going to be there. Those teams are expected to win. You they can't be manager of the year when you're expected to win. They're not expected to win. Tonight, Roy Halladay, for example, they're trying to find out if he can even throw the ball anymore. I'm saying that they're going to be maybe a little bit better than 500, and because of that, he's going to garner some manager of the year votes. I still don't think – you still have the manager. You said give him love. I just gave him some. What you want from me?
all right, guys. You guys got to save it for next week. We got all of 30 seconds left. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. If you have missed any of our previous shows, make sure you go to iTunes, search Real Sports Guys, and then you'll see all the Inside the Park shows. Make sure you go into iTunes, download those, check them out. Hank, why don't you go ahead and take us home, brother?
All right, that's the ball game for tonight, folks. Drive home safe.
Thank y'all. Peace. Are you still there? You guys still out there? Hello?